Well, the scriptures in Luke chapter 1 share part of the Christmas story, if you have your Bibles with you. And you'll notice I'm standing back a little bit so I can be able to see the monitor this morning. The one in the back is not working at the moment, but Luke chapter 1, 39 to 56. Mary visits Elizabeth. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, and she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things." Do you believe that? "He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." And Mary, she stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. Well, this morning we're continuing on with our sermon series called Behold, a Savior is Born. And it's that time of year where our hearts and minds begin to shift towards Christmas Day. And it often fills us with joy as we eagerly anticipate the arrival of Jesus, the Savior. And so last week we talked about the hope that fills our hearts when we think about the fulfillment of God's words to the prophet Isaiah. And it was written that God would give his people a sign that the Anointed One was coming into the world. And the wonderful news is that those signs have already come. And we celebrate their fulfillment each and every Christmas season. The arrival of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, there's one holiday activity that I see as a must in every home, or in our home, I should say. Now, my kids always loved decorating the Christmas tree and stringing the lights. But one of the things that I loved most around Christmas time was baking cookies. Now, if you wanted to get any kids excited, small, young, old, whatever, then tell them that they get to bake and decorate festive cookies. Now, anyone who has ever baked and decorated cookies knows that it's a whole process. And if Mabel was here this morning, I could get her to round out that whole process. You know, you've got to measure out the ingredients. You got to mix out the dough. It's an investment. And then you have to use those cookie cutters to create the tasty snowman or the reindeer or the snowflakes. And after they're cooked, they're put into the fridge to chill. And then when they are removed, you add the best part. What's that? The icing, exactly. And if you're really fortunate, you can sprinkle them with little sprinkles. Now they have all kinds of little shapes like reindeer and snowman and all kinds of little candy things to sprinkle on cookies. It might take a while, but after all the hard work and anticipation, then the kids would finally get to sink their teeth into the cookie. You see, it's something they worked so hard for, and it is the joy of anticipation, knowing that the work that is being put into it will eventually pay off. Now, today you can cheat if you wanted to, right? You can buy those prepackaged shortbread cookies that have the snowman and the reindeer already in them. I confess I have done that now. But it's not the same joy anticipated. As we look through the biblical Christmas narrative, nearly all the characters in the story who were waiting on Jesus to be born were marked by joy. You would think it would be despair after hundreds of years of anticipation. But just knowing what the arrival of Jesus would mean for them and others filled them with excitement. You see, joy can be found in what will be and not just what is. The Christmas account in Luke gives us an insight into the aspects of the story that Matthew does not. We are told that a woman named Elizabeth was pregnant under miraculous circumstances, and Elizabeth happens to be the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so Mary goes to visit Elizabeth while the two are pregnant, and it's during their interaction that we see joy in a unique way. We read about it this morning. As Mary arrives in Elizabeth's home, the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And as Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The text seems to tell us that the reason for Elizabeth and her baby's joyful response is that Mary is carrying the Lord Jesus Christ inside of her. And just the presence of Jesus being close has a powerful effect on everyone who is present in the home. Elizabeth praises Mary for her belief in God and her willingness to submit to the plan of God. And when I read this text, I wonder to myself, what is it that she and the baby are so excited about? I mean, after all, Elizabeth is speaking still of an unborn child. He hasn't done anything yet. But perhaps we can just learn something from this. What if we can experience joy in our lives today, not because of how things are now, but because of what could be in the future by the intervention of God? Elizabeth and her child are rejoicing in what was going to result from Jesus' long-anticipated birth. Notice what Elizabeth says in verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Mary's blessed because she trusted. And she believed in something that had not yet come to pass. And sometimes just anticipating God showing up can be enough to lift our spirits. Someone this morning, as they came through the church doors, said, "I can't wait to worship God. I can't wait to worship God." Wow. Anticipated joy. Anticipated joy. In the classic TV show Charlie Brown Christmas, you have all seen Charlie Brown Christmas, it's been around for a long time. Charlie Brown's having difficulty to get into the spirit of Christmas because of his sad little Christmas tree and the commercialization of the sinus season. And so his friend Linus says, Charlie Brown. "You're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Charlie Brown, you're the only one that I know that can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." There wasn't much anticipated joy there. We should be celebrating what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection could mean in our lives, rather than bemoaning all the things that can be found wrong. We can find a reason to be downtrodden or gloomy. You know, we could be like Eeyore. Oh, yeah. You know. But we can also find the gift of God's presence with us in Jesus. So maybe you are still waiting on God to do something in your life. Maybe you're still anticipating an answer to a sorrowful prayer. Here's the truth. God is not done yet. He is always present. He is always on the move. And whenever we are in his presence, whenever we are walking with Jesus, absolutely anything is possible. Just like Jesus' presence in Mary, when she was near Elizabeth, brought forth joy. His presence can do the same for us. Good news brings great joy. There were the shepherds. And the shepherds were a class of people that were not well thought of in the first century Jewish culture. They lived out in the fields day after day, night after night, doing the same thing day after day and night after night, watching sheep. They were smelly. They were dirty. They were known to be untrustworthy. And it's interesting to me that the message of Jesus' birth comes to them first. But it does. If you were to read Luke 2, 8 to 15, you would see that in the middle of the night outside of Bethlehem, an angel appears to the shepherds. And the Bible says it was marked by great light. And when the shepherds saw this, they were terrified. They were terrified. It was not normal. The angel brings a message for them that is good news. And the reason it is good news is because it will bring great joy to all people. Grace that blows my fears away. And so what makes the message the angel gives such great news? Verse 11. They are given reason to rejoice and spread the word because a Savior had come to earth. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, who is the Lord. There is joy in the birth of a Savior because they needed and we need to be saved from our sin and brokenness. There is joy because Jesus is the Messiah, who is the Lord, and he is the Anointed One who will lead us with his love. And so herein lies that good news that Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, the anticipated joy, died on the cross to pay for the wrongs in our lives. Jesus, his name, gave us access to a holy God. You chose an ornament a couple weeks ago with the names of Jesus on them. His name gives us access to a holy God and the promise of eternal life. This is not just good news, my friends. It's great news. And the Bible says it is for all people. He is not just the Savior of some or the Lord of most. He is over all and gave his life to rescue all people. He is over all. It was just not good news confined to the shepherds. It's good news for us today. So this is why we can live with joy and share this good news with others. The baby Jesus was born, and the baby changes everything. There's actually a song that a friend of ours, Jennifer, used to sing, and it's called "A Baby Changes Everything." And then there's joy on the other side. Our celebration at Christmas time only makes sense considering the season of Easter that is to come. The birth of Jesus that we have talked about in chapters 1 and 2 of Luke are only the beginning of what the Savior came to do. And it becomes clear later in the Gospels that Jesus was born into the world so that one day he might die on the cross for our sins, our wrong things. The arrest, the trial, the crucifixion would have been horrific, the pain he went through would have been terrible. But the Bible says that even in the middle of all its pain, Jesus still had joy. Amen. Why? Because he knew what was on the other side. We are told that Jesus suffered the cross. He took the shame, the humiliation of death, because there was joy ahead of him. The joy set before him was the fact that because of his sacrifice, you and I would be given the opportunity to receive his gift of grace and experience freedom from sin. The reason Jesus could have joy in the darkest time of his life was because he anticipated the resurrection. You see, Elizabeth and the baby inside her womb celebrated because of what Jesus would do in saving the world. The shepherds, they were given good news that would cause great joy for all people. Jesus endured the cross and knew that joy was on the other side. And one of the reasons we enter the Christmas season with joy is because we know that no matter what we are experiencing now, because of Jesus, we can look forward to joy in the future. Sometimes we feel like we must feel joyful to be joyful. Well, the truth is, though, that when Jesus was facing the cross, I'm sure he didn't feel joy. Even though he may not have felt joy, he chose to persevere through difficulty nonetheless. There's a story that Dwight L. Moody tells, and I'm quoting him this morning. "Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it, but joy, get this, flows right on through trouble. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows through all the persecution. Joy flows through all the opposition. It's an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring that the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. And the Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him." End of the quote. You see, walking in obedience to Jesus means keeping our eyes focused on him. As the Hebrews 12 passage states, we're tempted from time to time to take our eyes off him, to lose sight of where our joy comes from. And it's good to have a reminder every now and then. This Christmas, I want to challenge you, and myself included, to make a conscious effort to celebrate with joy because of what Jesus has done for you. No matter what is going on in your life today, whether it's with family or friends, plan a time to share your joy with someone else. Share your joy with someone on the street. Share your joy with your neighbor. Share the joy with your spouse. 'Tis the season, we often say. 'Tis the season. Well, what does that season represent for us? It should represent to share the joy of Jesus with others. I had a little girl this past week when I was standing on a kettle. I'm not sure what location it was. Doesn't really matter. But as I walked in into the as the family walked into the store, she kind of looked up at me. Yeah, we do get lots of looks. Yeah, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, I explained to her, and I went down, just kind of got down like this and showed her and explained to her, you know, how about the Christmas chair kettles and how we were raising funds for people, for families that didn't have any food on their tables to have this Christmas. And she said to me, "What do you mean, no food?" I said, "Well, you know, you're going shopping with your mom and you're going to buy some food for you to eat, maybe even your favorite food." "Oh, okay." So off she went. The next little bit, she came out with a box of KD Kraft dinner in her hands. And she was hugging the case of Kraft dinner. And she reached out her little hand and she said, This is what I've got left from my Kraft dinner. I want to make so sure that someone else gets Kraft dinner on their table. Anticipated joy? Whew. And then she says, and my little brother has some too. We never know where that joy will resonate itself, whether it is in a child, in a family. That day I felt full of joy, full of happiness, like I could do another 10 hours on the kettle, you know. But it's because of Jesus. It's not because of anything the Salvation Army does or anything any volunteer does. It's because of Jesus. And we can correlate that Jesus, 'tis the season for joy. 'Tis the season for joy. And as we embark on this new week, may we pray that we will encounter people that we can share the joy that Jesus gives us. And may our hearts leap for joy.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus is alive and well, and his presence is with us.